Have you been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This week, we have a special guest, Jamie Ann Harrell, who has an MBA and is the Business Intelligence Lead at Emory University's Gazueta Business School here in Atlanta. That is her job or her career by day. But as a human being, we are going to ask her many questions because she is transgender. And so today's topic is the transgender journey. What's it really like? And I wanted to cover this. This is an important topic to me because I believe that it's a hot topic in today's world because it is so misunderstood, grossly. And I think that we've covered a lot of stories in the media about it around celebrity with Bruce Jenner, being such a high-profile transgender and announcing, his transition to Caitlyn, and all of a sudden it hits headlines across the country, maybe even across the world. And yet, here we are 4 years later, and I think the majority of people in our everyday world are still confused about this. So we are going to get the skinny from Jamie directly today to find out what is this really like? What is being transgender? How does it differ from other gender? What does it feel like? What is it like to transition? We're just going to run the gamut on this. So Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate you having me on, and thank you to OM Radio for hosting this show. I really, really appreciate it, first of all. And I'd like to go ahead and jump right in here and talk about Caitlyn real quick, because it seems to be on everybody's minds. But I also want to reflect that what we'll talk about today is just my story, and in no way can I represent all trans people or all trans stories, just as Caitlyn could not represent all trans stories. And that so many people who are transgender have had a much more difficult time with this than I have, and certainly than Caitlyn has, with her transition being really nowhere close to, I think, what is representative of reality for most transgender people. She kind of came out of the gate. All of a sudden she appeared. She was on, a special on, in your living room. And I really appreciate her bringing this into your living room so that we can talk about it every day. But, people, when we go through a transition like this, it's not so instantaneous. You don't walk out one day being one person and walk into the room the next day being the other. It's a very long and involved process, and at times painful as well. So the reality is that it's much harder for people who aren't rich, transgender people of color who face potential intersectional biases, or even simply those of us who have less money or no support system in place during transition.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I do think that we live in a world where information is in our face all the time, the television, the radio, social media, the internet, and on and on and on and on. And I do think that while there are many benefits to that, there are also false perceptions, just like you're talking about. Because Caitlyn Jenner hits headline news and a lot of stories glamorize it, it really does give only the tip of the iceberg and possibly even for many a superficial understanding of what this is and what a trans person experiences through the course of their lifetimes. There's many years before maybe they even let others know. So I'm eager to talk to you. One thing I just want to say out loud that I have never said publicly, and I don't think that many people who even know me know this about my career, but And part of it's because I was honoring the fact that this was so confidential at the time that I wanted to honor the confidentiality of it. So I just really never spoke of it again. But I was asked by a federal health agency over a decade ago. I got a phone call out of the blue, and the person, the lead person over there said, we are doing a health survey that is absolutely crucial to a certain community in our country that has been historically ostracized to such a degree that they've never opened up to give us the information that we need. And it's crucial that we get it, because in the end, this research is going to actually protect them and help them. But because they have been so abused, they won't talk. And this was what got me. They said, you are the only facilitator that any of us could think of that would be able to build the trust with them immediately and help us get this information. And I literally, I'll do it again. I literally cried. I was so honored. But I have to tell you that when she said it was transgender community leaders throughout the country, there would be, I think, 100 of them that would come to the table, and that they had never had a problem necessarily getting people to the table. They always had a problem getting them to talk. And so even though I was so humbled to tears to be asked, my next question was, okay, thank you so much. I am incredibly humbled. Of course, I will step up to the plate and do this for you. By the way, what is transgender?
What does it mean? Right. Interestingly, even as late as I think it was 2011 or 2012, the medical community and the therapist community considered it to be a mental disorder. So even as recently as in the past 10 years, it's been depathologized so that, it's understood to be not a mental disorder. And so that's relatively new. And so, 10 years ago, if this was when this was happening, I can certainly understand that it would be very difficult for people to talk about this, and to get the community together, to really get the information that you need, because people and physicians and doctors, still kind of thought that there was a disorder to this in terms of being mentally ill. And that's been found not to be the case, which is, very helpful. I think why you've seen a lot more visibility of trans people in the last 10 years. And, not just starting with Caitlin coming into your living room, but with activists long before that.
Well, and the
so what
leader
is it, right?
who asked me to do this, So the leader who asked me to do this, I have to just add this really quickly, because I want people who may have preconceived notions about transgender, who may be judgmental, may still have some idea that, these people are, they've got a mental disorder or whatever. I want to just say this up front before we get into the details of it. When I walked in that room, I fell in love with this group of people, and I will tell you why. Because I kicked it off by just standing in the middle of the room in front of all of them and saying, I have no idea what it is like to be you. I was raised in small town southern Indiana. This is way beyond what we had any idea of, that existed in the world. And I'm just a small town girl with a huge heart, and I need you to tell me how to honor you. I need you to tell me what name you prefer, what gender you prefer, and I promise to honor you today. And when I acknowledged my ignorance, just this small town girl who knows nothing about this, they embraced me so quickly, and I just fell in love with them. They allowed themselves to be vulnerable. I was vulnerable. And it was just a hugely successful day. So people need to know that these are real people, just like
of course
everyone else. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who just don't open their minds and hearts to accept that as truth. And that is exactly why we're doing this show. So enough about all that.
And thank you for that. No, I mean, we are your neighbors. We are the president of the PTA at the local elementary school. We're doctors, we're lawyers, we're everywhere around you, and a lot of people that are trans that navigate the world today, you might not even know that they're trans. You know, some people, their transition is such that you wouldn't know that they were transgender. Now, others are more visible and others are more vocal. For example, my voice is pretty deep. And so I think most listeners to a radio show like this, which is kind of difficult for me, would have no visual as to what I look like, to understand that in most cases, if you were to see me on the street, you would probably pass me without notice. You wouldn't know that I was trans just walking by me in the street. And so many times there has been, you know, bathroom things that have come up and, you know, these types of issues that have come up that you really wouldn't even know if we were there or not. And so as we become more vocal, as we become more visible, and frankly, the society becomes more accepting of us, we are your doctors, lawyers, and PTA presidents, and we're here. And I hope that these conversations help others recognize and realize that we're people too, and we have loves and desires and passions to, you know, go about our daily lives the same way that everyone else does. We want the same opportunities as everyone else does. So I hope that these conversations really connect us as people one-on-one to open those hearts and minds. So what is it?
So yeah, what is it? And quite honestly, when did you or did you ever wake up and say to yourself, I may have been born a man, but I'm not a man?
So
like, when does that my journey,
sure.
play?
You know, I think for many trans people that it happens at a different point in time in their life. Some young people know when they're 3, 4, 5 years old what their gender is, and it's instant. It's very, very insistent, and it's very, very persistent and consistent. That's what the terms that doctors use when they're looking at transgender children who are insisting on their gender identity. You know, for me, it was quite different. I did a lot of the things that young trans people do. I wore women's clothes when I was a child and throughout my life, actually. But I hid it because I was ashamed of that. I hid because I was aware that at a very young age, you learn that being different, a feminine boy perhaps, can create a reaction in people that's very negative. And even to the point of being teased, to the point of potential violence, you know, if you're a very feminine boy growing up, you know, people tend to set you apart and other you. And so at a very young age, many, many children will learn to hide this. Now, for me, there was a period of many, many years where I hid and I suppressed it. And I ended up living a double life where I would spend some time of my life as a woman and some time of my life as a man. And that became very difficult for me, both emotionally as well as balancing my family obligations. And I didn't really come out until I was 40. I didn't know that I was transgender until I was 40. Now, I did a lot of the things that trans people do. But when I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the language to describe this. We didn't have networks to connect with one another and meet other people like us and find that we're not the only person in the world. We're not the only one out there like this. And so for me, a big turning event was when I was 40, I had a younger cousin who was 39 years old, who was diagnosed with lung cancer. And she passed away when I was 40, and I realized that her 3 young boys were going to grow up never really knowing their mother. Sure, they'll have those young childhood memories, but they'll grow up not knowing her. And it was around that time that I was working through this myself, seeing a gender therapist and trying to figure out what this was about me and could I possibly be trans? And I realized that if I continued down the road that I was going, where I was hiding, I was suppressing, I was becoming angry, I was drinking a lot, I was smoking a lot, I was staying out late at night to find a place and a space and time to be myself away from my family. And I realized that if I kept doing that, that maybe my kids might grow up without me in their life, and that my kids would never know me. And that to me was a big wake up call when she passed away, that I needed to make a change in my life because I wanted to be in my children's life and I wanted them in mine. And so that's when I made the decision to transition, which is a decision. Not everyone who's trans does transition. People don't choose to be transgender, but they choose what to do about it. And some people, the cost is too high, or they're too unable to because of family situations. But I pushed forward, and now my kids are a part of my life. I'm with them now, kind of on vacation, kind of working remote down in Florida, because my job is kind of cool like that. I get to work remote. But I brought my kids to my mom's house, the childhood house that I grew up in, where all of their cousins are here, two of my sisters and my mom, and so they've got all of their cousins and grandma and aunts here, and I get to do that now, and maybe I wouldn't have had that chance. And I think if you look at the statistics on mental health for transgender people, and maybe we'll get into that in another segment, but it can be a very dire prognosis for those who are unable to go through a transition. And the fact is, a lot of us are very, very happy following transition as well. I mean, I'm probably happier than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, because you're liberated, right? You're liberated from your own mind holding you hostage from who you are. And what you're saying makes sense to me. You know, here you are on a downward spiral with your lifestyle choices, with the drinking and smoking and the excessive behaviors. That's not uncommon for any gender. When we deny ourselves who we are, whether that is because you're in an unhappy marriage or because you are actually pretending to be straight and you're gay, there's so many things out there that cause us to not be comfortable in our own skin. And when we don't love and embrace ourselves, that is the beginning of the downward spiral, right? So,
yeah.
I mean,
if you're not authentic to who you are,
no matter who that is, but to love and accept
and if you're
yourself
not happy,
as you are.
Absolutely. If you're not happy with yourself, then that shows in everything you do. If we look at this in terms of the workplace, if so much of your energy, which is a huge issue for me in the trans community, is advocating for workplace equality for trans people is a big point of mine. But if you look at someone who's trans that may be part-time, that may be a woman at night and a man during the day at work because they're afraid they'll lose their job because 25% of trans people get fired when they come out. Or if they're, a man at night but a woman on the job because there are trans men as well. You're putting so much energy into that you can't put your focus into your family, your work, and those things that bring us joy in life. And it can, being authentic to yourself, whether that's gender, sexuality, whether that's just who you are and what you want to be, what you want to do, what your occupation is. If you're not authentic to yourself, then you're not going to be a happy person, and you become difficult to be around and can really cause problems in your life.
Yes, you were just taking the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say, if you aren't happy with yourself, you aren't happy. And when you aren't happy, you're not just hurting yourself. You're being a wrecking ball to everyone around you.
I was missing the best part, Saturday morning, cooking pancakes with my daughters and having breakfast on a Saturday morning. I was missing that because being trans, there's not, if you're not out, there's not a lot of spaces and places for you. It's pretty much going out to bars that, are either gay bars or somewhere that's, having a drag show. So they're kind of saying that this is an LGBT-friendly place. And it's late at night and there's alcohol and there's smoke and there's just all of these things that really aren't conducive to a good family life. And, so that's the places that I would go. And it was, I was missing Saturday mornings with my kids, which are my favorite times now.
And so now you've got them, right? Yeah. You've got your
yes,
Saturday mornings
yes.
back. Yeah. So, okay. So you touched on something earlier that I want to just kind of pull out and make it more obvious to the listeners. And that is, you said you don't choose to be transgender, but you choose what you do with it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we return, I want to pick up the conversation right there. Stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Jamie Ann Harrell today about being transgender, the transgender journey, and what it's really like. So before we went to a commercial break, you said, you don't choose to be transgender, but you can choose what you do with it. And so I wanted to say more overtly to the listeners who may not have picked up on that. You are basically saying someone is typically born transgender. They may not know that. They may not know to label it that. They may not know. They may not do anything about it. But is that what you're saying when you say it? When you say that?
Yeah. So the science shows us that transgender people have brains that are most similar to the gender with which they identify. So to be very specific about that, a trans female, a person with who is a transgender female, if you did an MRI of their brain, the brain structures are more closely resembling the brain structures of what you would see of a typical female woman. And a transgender male, a person who was born female and transitioned to male, or whose gender identity is male, their brain structure on an MRI would be more closely related to a male brain. And so this isn't something that you choose. Because, you know, who would really, you know, choose to put themselves into a position of extreme difficulty throughout their entire life, right? This is not something that you just wake up and say, oh, I want to be trans because that looks like fun. Well, let me tell you, it's not that fun. So, yes, the science has shown us that, that being transgender is something that you are born with. But more specifically, I think you're really born with a gender identity. And whether or not your body matches that gender identity is really what differentiates a transgender person with a cisgender person. And so I'm getting into a little bit of terminology here. Maybe we should do some definitions on that. If you want to talk about cisgender,
gender, sex,
etc. Perfect. So all cisgender means is that you're not trans. And we use this as a term, so we avoid using words like normal. We don't say a normal woman versus a transgender woman. We say a cisgender woman versus a transgender woman, because transgender women are normal as well.
And so I just want to stop you there. So for listeners who have never heard this word, it's cisgender, cisgender, right?
Yeah.
I just want to clarify because that will be a new word to most people. So they may be sitting there going, what is she saying?
What is that? That is you. You are a cisgender woman. And all that means, cis is a prefix. I don't know if it's Latin or Greek or where it comes from, but it means, means the same. Cis meaning the same and trans meaning different. So your gender and your gender identity match. You were born in a female body and you have a female brain and those match. Therefore, you are cisgender. I was born in a body that looked male. My brain was born female and they don't match. And so then I'm transgender. I can be transgender without transitioning as well. You might not ever see or know that that's something that a person struggles with and they never transition, but they're still transgender before transition and after transition, so to speak.
Okay. Excellent.
Did I lose you?
Those are those two, but there's more, right? There's more to the story of gender. So what else?
Sure. So gender, the best way to look at gender is a spectrum. And so if you had a piece of paper and you drew a line all the way from the left side of the piece of paper to the right side of the piece of paper, and on the left you put male and on the right you put female, and you drew a line in between them, all of those places in between are areas where gender exists. You might be all the way male, be very, very, very masculine. You might be all the way female, all the way over on the other side, be very, very, very feminine. But some people exist on that spectrum. Some people exist in the middle where they're somewhat androgynous and they don't necessarily feel particularly male or particularly female. They would be androgynous. Some people would be non-binary where they're kind of somewhere in the middle, sometimes feeling male, sometimes feeling female. And that's a really difficult concept for people to grasp, but we're very usually or unusually is science so binary, saying you must be male or you must be female. There's a variation in between the two. And that spectrum is where most trans people exist because, young children who may assert their gender very, very, very early on probably exist the furthest away from the gender that they were born. But those of us that figure it out later in life, we were okay for a while living in the gender that most people thought we were, but something wasn't right, and so we're somewhere else along that spectrum. But my gender falls over to the right side of the page somewhere towards the female end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so...
Some people aren't always comfortable with, we grew up learning chromosomes, right? XX is male and XY is male and XX is female, and that's the end of it. But the truth is there's a lot of variation, both in chromosomes as well as in areas of gender and all areas of life that are not always just yes or no black and white questions. And so when we become comfortable with the fact there are a spectrum of answers, there are a spectrum of people that it's not always just a yes or a no or a binary male or female, then we can begin to understand that people exist in these other areas. The same can be true about sexuality as well, but we can save that for another conversation perhaps.
Yeah, but gender and sexuality are not the same. And
correct.
What you're talking about is just gender.
Gender.
Yes. So I just want to say that to make sure we are in, make sure that listeners understand that we're not bringing sexuality into this conversation yet, because the gender conversation doesn't necessarily have anything to do with sexuality.
It pretty much doesn't. I mean, gender, a lot of people like to say gender is who you are and sexuality is who you're attracted to. And the two are not always dependent, right? In most cases, men tend to be attracted to women and women tend to be attracted to men, but there are
I mean, this exists, right? There are people who are men who are attracted to men and women who are attracted to women. And there are people everywhere in between. Some men are mostly attracted to women, but sometimes attracted to men. So again, that's the spectrum as well. But we try to keep those two conversations separate, because who you are doesn't have a lot to do with who you're attracted to. And we're talking about who you are as a person as to what your gender is.
Yeah. So I just want to differentiate that for those who may be confusing the two in their minds when they think of transgender. Because I think a lot of, you know, I think another element of this is there's a faction of society that's very confused when people rattle off the acronym LGBT.
Sure.
You know, it's like, wait, who's in that group? Who is that?
And, yeah.
I think while the intent behind that was to honor all of those communities, I think it has also had an impact of confusion in some ways.
It certainly has. You know, I think L, G, and B are about sexuality, and T is about gender. So lesbian, gay, and bisexual is about sexuality, and T, transgender, is about gender. Now, we frequently have them lumped together, I think, because we face a lot of similar biases in life, and we face a lot of similar issues in life. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that always strikes me as interesting is that most transgender people, their sexuality does not change after transition. And so at some point, if your sexuality didn't change, I, being attracted to women, before was considered a straight male. And then after transition, still attracted to women, would be considered a lesbian. And so so I'm part of LGB either before or after transition as well. So we do face both a lot of the same issues that lesbian, bi, and gay people face, but we're also tend to be part of that group at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Because of our transitions.
Yep. Very good. Well, that explains a lot, and I appreciate it. I think, you know, we're in an era where now that this has come to the forefront more with more prevalence, right? And there are multiple reasons to that, whether it's conferences like the one I facilitated, whether it's Caitlyn Jenner coming out across the mass media, whether it's the fact that we just have more medium opportunities with social media and the internet than we have ever had before. There's multiple factors that have made this more visible than it ever has been. And so I'm wondering if that has had an impact both positively and negatively, right? Because now the secret's out. And so in one sense, it probably has liberated many transgender people. And in another way, I'm wondering if it's also increased the amount of naysayers and you know, abusers, should I go ahead and say? Who still don't understand it or won't accept it.
You know, I think the overall arc of social justice is towards more equality and a more accepting and open society. And so in the long run, I think that's where we are headed. I think in the short run, you're right, you may get a little bit of pushback, and you know, we have seen some issues come up in the news with anti-trans bias. You know, recently that have been more and more publicized, but I think that's part also exactly what you're talking about, of it being in your living room, it being a conversation that you can have over the dinner table, rather than something that's just talked about in back rooms. But the fact of the matter is, trans people have existed pretty much since the beginning of time. We're not new. It's not some, you know, new phenomenon that's appearing here and because we're talking about it more. You know, I believe the Native American cultures had four or five genders in many of their cultures. And there's even a story of the woman who performed the first successful, the doctor who performed the first successful cesarean section was an obstetrician who is thought to have been a trans man. So a woman who was who took on the identity of perhaps her deceased brother and then joined military school, went on to be a military doctor, I believe, with the British military in the 1800s and performed a cesarean section.
Wow.
I think it was in South Africa. Right. So this is in the 1800s. And so we've been around, but it's been more covered in the news.
But we didn't get to tweet about it back then.
Right. But
so there were pictures. There weren't a lot of pictures floating around.
Right,
oh, God.
Right. But I think we still really haven't addressed what is it to be trans. And I would like to talk about that a little bit. Of what does it feel like to be someone who's trans? And how do you explain this to a cisgender person whose mind has always matched their body? And a lot of people try to approach this by saying, so Jennifer, if you were to approach this and say, what would it feel like if I were born a boy? Mm-hmm. And that's really impossible. I think that's an impossible leap to ask you to make. Instead, if I were to say to you, Jennifer, what if you were born you? The gender you know you are right now, but everyone else thought you were a boy. When you said, I want to wear that princess outfit for Halloween, your parents said, no, dear, that's a girl's costume. You must be a pirate. What if you said, I want to play with that Barbie set? And they said, no, you're a boy. You play with cars. And your brain is just going, wait a minute. I'm me. I'm a girl. I don't really want to play with cars. And I'm being generic, right? I mean, these are stereotypes that boys play with cars and girls play with princesses. But on the whole, those kind of averages work out, right? More young women, more young girls like to play with princesses and Barbies, and more boys like to play with cars. I mean, there are some components to that are nature, right? And so, but if you were you and everyone else saw you differently, what would you do? What would you say? And if you begin to think about it that way, you can, and you're you. It's not trying to make pretend that you're somebody else. You go to the restroom and your body doesn't look like what you think it should. You know, even you smell differently when you get dressed and you put on deodorant and it smells wrong. So the body you have now just doesn't smell right. And then you have to put on clothes that you're like, I don't want to wear these clothes. I'm a girl. I don't want to, you know, wear the uniform that all the boys wear to school. And the favorite outfit that makes you feel particularly strong or confident, if you put that on, you get laughed at or teased or lose your job or your family. Maybe you'll be disowned. And maybe even realize that those memories of your childhood, all those things you love to do, those happy times, those aren't really memories. Those are fantasies that you made up because you couldn't live them.
Yeah.
If you can go there in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really powerful, Jamie. And I, you know, the first thing that goes through my head is just how maddening that must feel. I want to take this conversation to the next level when we return from this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. We're continuing our very important conversation with Jamie Ann Harrell about the transgender journey and what it's really like. Before we went to a commercial break, Jamie was sharing really powerful, I'm going to call it a visualization, because even though you were asking hypothetical questions and you were giving really great descriptors of, you know, asking us all to think about if we're cisgender, right? I was born female. I feel female. I have a female brain. I have a female body. I am a cisgender person. And you're asking us all to envision, well, what if we had woken up one day and I was in a male body, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I can't fathom the mental disruption going on. It would be maddening. It would be mind-numbing. I think I would probably go through a phase of being angry at God because clearly there was a mistake. I'm not supposed to be in this body. You know, these were the things that were going through my mind when you asked those questions. I'm thinking, you know, you said now you're going into the bathroom, and I'm thinking, oh my God, so I have a penis? Yes, are you kidding me?
like what? right.
Sorry,
oh my God.
So crass, but I'm thinking, hell no, this is not me.
I'm not making light of it. I'm saying
this is where I was in my head. This is where you took me. Okay. Yeah. So thank you for that. But yes,
let me
pray
on this a little bit further, because I think one of the barriers to A, embracing transgender people as who we are, and B, really barriers to care, is that a lot of times people just don't believe us. They just don't believe we're trans, and they want to focus in on who we were before transition. But so let me take that. You almost went to an example that I'm going to give. Imagine if it were your daughter, not born male, but born as she is today, pre-puberty. So imagine at some point she develops a condition where her body suddenly starts secreting testosterone. And her voice got deep, and she developed facial hair and hair everywhere across her back, her chest, her legs. She's really a girl, but she's developed an Adam's apple. What would you do? And what would you say? Would you say, let's wait until she's an adult for her to be old enough to decide if she's really a girl? And then have to have all of these really painful procedures and surgeries to transition. It would be a medical emergency. Because you believe she is a girl. And if you don't believe that I am a woman, then everything it falls apart, right? You won't treat me like a woman, because people just don't believe us. You can't tell what's in my mind. I can only tell you what I feel. And so that's where I challenge people to think really hard and long about gender. What is it that defines your gender for you? Is there any one thing that without that one thing, you wouldn't be a woman? And I can say most likely there's only one thing, but more than likely any example that someone can come up with, and we see this all the time when people are, you know, trolling us on the internet. Wait till you see the comments after this show. Don't read the comments. It won't be fun. But if someone were to say, well, you can't be a woman because of this, I can introduce you to a woman that doesn't have that. Is it being
a mother. My sister doesn't have any kids. Is she still a woman? Is it having a uterus? Well, there are women born without them. Is it chromosomes? Well, there are women who have XY chromosomes with an androgen insensitivity who appear 100% as women, grow up as women, and feel like they're women, but they have a Y chromosome. So there's all of these things that I really like to challenge people and say, what is the one thing that without that you wouldn't be a woman? Because I might not have that, right? I might not ever have a uterus. But does that define me to be not a woman? Because there are women in the world that don't have that.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is
really, go ahead, sorry.
They don't believe us. No, that's yeah. Fine. But what I'm getting at is people just don't believe you. They say, well, you can't be a woman because of this. And yeah. I say to you, well, you know what? There are women who don't have that. I think what the only thing in my mind that I've been able to come up with that defines this is that I feel and I say I am. That's the only one thing that you can't dispute and you can't take away from me.
Yeah.
And it's probably the only thing that you could. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm empathizing so deeply because of the direction you're taking the conversation is really so powerful. I cannot thank you enough. You know what I'm thinking? My mind's going in multiple directions, but a couple of things. One is the show itself is called Conflict Rising, right? And the idea is I wanted to cover cultural topics that induce conflict. And I have to say, Jamie, I think of all the topics we've covered, I can't imagine another topic that creates more conflict. Inner conflict, right? Not to mention all the external right. Not to mention all the external conflict that comes from all these people who don't understand and don't believe you or judge you or whatever it is. So it's just, you know, and I also know as a coach working with hundreds of people over the years, working with them through conflict, that, you know, something that's less intense than something like being transgender in terms of conflict inducing is extremely hard for people to work through. Inner conflict is extremely difficult, even when it's purely emotional. I cannot fathom how challenging it is to be emotional, psychological, physical, physiological, social. It's all of it.
And I can tell you, the best days of my life are those days that I forget that I'm trans. That I just take my kids to the beach and I'm with them and I'm enjoying time with them. But that conflict, it doesn't necessarily go away when you transition, because there's always something there that says, you know, you're not enough. You're not this, you're not that. For example, if I want my youngest daughter to have a sleepover with one of her friends, now I have to ask the question, will this other parent accept me as a woman and let her daughter sleep over at my house? Or is this kind of weird for them? And so these things don't go away, even after transition. You know, that's one example that you still struggle with. And you know, even the dysphoria of, and that's what we call it when you're just, you know, that conflict that's going on in your brain, even when it subsides, it's still kind of there in the background sometimes. And transition helps immensely with this, but there's always something there. I would, you know, that someone will be able to say, oh, well, you don't have the right chromosomes, so no, my daughter won't sleep over at your house, right? There's always that kind of question there that is somebody judging me. Am I female enough? And what's interesting to me is I find that the more feminine I present at work, going to the dentist, whatever it is, wherever I go, the more feminine I present, the less I get of, you know, pushback, because people see what I'm presenting to the world. But it leads to this kind of, amongst a lot of trans women, a hyper femininity, which is unfortunate because you don't, I sh- don't, I shouldn't be required to give you hyperfemininity for you to accept who I am. Sometimes I just want to wear shorts and a new shirt and flip-flops and go to the beach.
Sure. And so do I. And I'm a cisgender female, right? Like, of course, yes, there are days when I don't want to wear makeup or a bra and I want to, you know, wear a baggy t-shirt and flip-flops too. You're right. Yeah. If you're constantly feeling like you have to still stretch into yourself to accommodate others just so you can have a peaceful day interacting with others, that's exhausting. Yeah.
It can be. It can be. Yeah. So it doesn't, my point is it doesn't end with transition, but life got significantly better.
Yeah. Yes. Because, well, and also to your point, if you're interacting and you're having more fun because you are feeling and expressing yourself in a more feminine way, I also, the first thing that went through my head when you said that was you are expressing yourself authentically, and that the likelihood that the world will embrace you as you are increases because are comfortable in your own skin in those moments. And
Which is really the goal, or for many people, is a very big goal, is to have the world just embrace you and accept you for who you are. Yeah. And for some people, that's like me, someone that I consider to be a binary trans person. I transitioned to female, and I am all the way female, right? Except for my voice, which is a little bit deep. But you know, some people live in the middle because they're non-binary. They live somewhere else on that spectrum. And I think that's really where the long-term conversation needs to be, is not just the accommodation of, but the accepting of people who are in the middle, because that's where they live and that's where they're most authentic. And that's where the world should accept them the most, because they don't owe us hyper-masculinity or hyper-femininity for us to accept them. And the non-binary people, I think, in this world are kind of this, this part of the trans community that is underserved and not talked about a lot. But if it's the target of who we accept and who we build acceptance for, then I think that benefits all trans people, because all trans people, if we transition, go through this phase that is like 2 years of kind of this ambiguous gender of transition. You know, if you actually probably did see me a year into my transition, and you're kind of visually between genders. And people are like, are you a boy? Are you a girl? And you're like, well, I'm kind of both at the time, which is kind of an interesting place to be if that's your identity. You're not going all the way to transitioning to female or going all the way to transitioning to male. So if we can really work towards that, I know I'm stretching, but if we work towards that as the goal of acceptance, of normalization, of non-binary people in our culture, then we'll get rid of a lot of these biases that sneak into our daily lives.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. The other part of this that I'm relating to personally is I and this is going to sound like it's not even relatable, but you know, I had a bilateral mastectomy 7 years ago. For the last 4 years, I haven't dated. And I have asked myself 1,000 times, this is because I still haven't accepted myself, my new self. And it's very emotion-inducing when I ask myself because it's been such a struggle, because even though my breasts, excuse that I'm getting this graphic with everyone, don't define my gender or my femininity, it certainly challenged me.
Of course.
On many levels. And that's just one thing in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm relating that to you in a very deeply profound way for myself. And I'm thinking, but that's only a part of your story, right? But it's how I'm really, really going there with you today.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Like, you question yourself and you're like, does this change who I am?
And I'll tell you what got me through it at the time, many things, a huge support system and friends and a lot of love and blah, 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 blah. But Melissa Etheridge sings a song called I Run for Life. And there's a line in that song that says, you can cut my body. You can, it's basically, you can take all this, but you'll never have a piece of my soul. And it just related, it just made me feel like, you know what, I can be judged on the surface of what I look like all day long, but nobody can
take that away
my soul or who I am. They can't take that.
Yeah.
And that's what we all have to fall back on.
And that's why I absolutely say that's the only answer of who defines who you are and what you are. And when I say that I'm a trans woman, I say that I'm a woman. Nobody can take that away from me. You can argue with me, but you can't take that away from me. You can bring up chromosomes. You can bring up ovaries. You can bring up, you know, can I be a mother? Well, my adopted child is just as much my daughter as my biological child.
Absolutely.
So you can bring up all those things.
So I relate to that. Yeah.
You cannot take that, what's inside of me, what's inside of my brain and my heart and my soul, you can't take that.
Yeah. Well, we're wrapping up the show, so we're going to get cut off soon. And before we do, I'm going to say something completely superficial, and that is, I have to say that when you are sporting total femininity, there have been times I have run into you and I have been completely envious of your pencil skirt or your heels. Something because
well,
you are so
you.
Tall and lean, and I am so short, and I'm like, she can pull off things I can't. So
since I was five.
I thank you so much for a fabulous show and for sharing such intimate detail about what it is to be transgender, and I hope you will return because I'd love to go deeper into the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you're welcome. In the meantime, I'll see everyone else next week. Take care.